This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you send your word, you inhabit our praises, Father. And we want you to inhabit our praises. We pray that you will inhabit this place this morning, that we will hear from your word, Lord God. Father, thank you for just your goodness and your mercy that showers us. Thank you for the rain on this nation, O God, the last week. We bless you, Father. We ask for it and you provide it. Father, we rely on you to provide for us, not what man can make or do or what we can do. We rely on what you can do. Father, we thank you for your presence. We pray that you will speak to us. We pray that you will bless us this morning, Father. And you will not only bless us, but bless this nation. Bless this nation, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, everyone. The mic is now very loud. Hello? You can maybe softer sit. Good morning, everyone. Good. It's almost good afternoon. How are you? Are you good? Any holiday makers here? What does one say? Holiday makers or holiday? Yes, vacationers. Anyway, I will be on holiday after this sermon. but it's not that hard work, I must admit. It's quite nice. No, I'm glad to be here this morning. There's lots of activity here in Swakopmund. There was a Makiti. What was it called? Makiti, I guess. And there was also a Desert Dash. Did you see that? The cyclists. I remember very long ago, I didn't partake in any of them. But I saw, I think the first one where they started in Windhoek, which was quite a while ago. And I'm guessing it was 50 cyclists, 60 cyclists. More or less there. Yesterday was 1,000 people cycling all over the desert. And can't always explain why people do those type of things to themselves. But if 1,000 do it to themselves, I guess this. but I think it's great. So there's lots happening in Swakop. There's people coming in. I don't know if you're going away. But anyway, I hope you enjoy the holiday. And I am just going to talk this morning about, it's got to do with the rain that God has sent. I don't know if you're excited about it, but I'm very excited about it. I'll tell you a little bit. So let me say, I want to talk this morning just about the journey we have been through at intercession in our church, okay? I haven't been to the intercession the last week and so on because I was away, etc. But I've been there quite a lot, and it's an amazing journey that God has taken us through. He's really blessed us, and I just want to summarize what I think we go through, because I would obviously like, and the one thing is, I remember a while ago, it was always a struggle to get people to intercession, and that was once a week. Now we have it 5 days a week in the morning, and we have more people than we've had before. I don't understand that, but that's obviously when God does something. You know, sometimes we can try so much in the flesh, and then it just makes us tired, but God is obviously doing something in our midst. And I remember a while ago, let's say about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we started to pray. So Pastor Michael Howard, when he was here, he said, well, okay, let's pray for rain. We obviously need rain. Let's choose that topic. Let's pray for it. So in the beginning, I like to use my phone and go on the Weather Channel website. Okay, so I check. But in the beginning, now we're praying, and then I look at this satellite photos and the forecasts, and it looks horrible. And so we're praying and praying, and it still looks horrible. And at one stage, I felt, I didn't feel like this very strong conviction, but I just felt, stop looking at this stuff. Because I was looking at it, and I think the difference in myself was I was looking at it as almost having more faith in those things than having faith in what God is telling us at intercession and what He's starting to imprint in our hearts. And now, And I remember us praying, God, you know, send rain. And we heard the rain started there at Katima. But then we said, God, send rain to every part of Namibia. And I looked at the weather forecast 3 or 4 days ago, and the whole of Namibia was full of clouds, completely. Yes, it's time to clap hands. And I think the difference between, and I'm not going to rely on it too much and what look at those websites anymore. But when I started off, there was doubt in Theo. Then we started praying, and God started really, it's like he gives you faith that you don't understand completely, because you have the faith, but the clouds are still not there. And now it feels to me like I'm looking at the where the faith was in the forecast, now the faith is in God, and you just look at the forecast and you see, yes, that's exactly what he said he's going to do. You see the swap? There's a bit of a swap in myself, and I believe it's God stirring that faith in us, and I really believe he listens to us when we pray. And we have to pray in the correct manner also. That's also what we've learned. So I'm just going to go through a little bit of a recipe, what we've gone through at intercession. And I'll, as I go through it, I'll explain why I think it's important. Okay, is that all right with you? So the intercession is still continuing for about a week. I believe it's still this week. Please try and come to it. And the point I'm also going to make today is, yes, the intercession might stop at the end of this week. We're going to continue next week. But I'm talking, I want to encourage you, sorry? 20th, okay. But your intercession, your prayer life in your own life, with or without the church intercession, is what I want to talk about. And it's where I want to encourage you and stir your faith where you can grow to. Amen. Is that right? Okay. I'm going to change this sermon a little bit. So the slides, Aaron John, you can go to the first scripture. Skip that first slide. And we'll come to that first slide right at the end. So we're going to read this morning. You'll have to open your Bibles and read with me 2 Chronicles verse, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which I think gives us a nice picture of almost what I believe a lot of it we have gone through at intercession. So to give you some background here, 2 Chronicles 20, I think 2 Chronicles starts with where Solomon is still the king, and Solomon passes away, his son Rehoboam becomes the king. And then the Israelites at that moment, God's people, come to Rehoboam and they ask him, they say, listen, your dad Solomon has been very hard on us. He made us work extremely hard, etc. Will you be more reliant or not as harsh on us as your father? And Rehoboam, now I just read that this morning for some introduction. I don't know why he decided, but he comes back and he says, no, nation of Israel, I'm going to be even more harsh on you. So that's probably something one could study. And that's where Israel and Judah splits. The Israelites decide, no, we're not going to follow. And Rehoboam becomes the king of Judah. That's where God's people split in two. And so then you have Rehoboam is the first king of Judah. Then you have Abijah, Asa, and the fourth one is Jehoshaphat. And we're going to read about that. So remember this, because I'm going to come back to it. He's the king of Judah. Judah and Israel is split. So we start off in verse 1. And as I'm going to read, I'm going to explain things to you and touch on it concerning our church's intercession. Verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And just by the way, ever since Solomon or David, Solomon, I'm not going to profess that I know all of this right away, but they were good kings, or let's say righteous kings and unrighteous kings. And as far as one can read, Jehoshaphat was quite godly and righteous from the start. He's one of those that at least stood out. So this is now him experiencing, him going through this. Came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazanon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now that first two scriptures is where I want, I'm just going to stand still every now and then. And a great multitude is coming against you. So in your own life, in our own lives, as Christians, every now and then, and that's, I listened to a little video clip, I didn't finish it, but this young pastor saying that some, I guess most of the times nowadays, we set up people that just come to Christ the wrong way. We tell them, I don't want to say we, but a lot of Christians do, that it's going to be all amazing and God's going to fix all your problems, etc. And then God doesn't fix all the problems and then they're disappointed. And so the one thing we can promise Christians is, yes, God will give you peace that surpasses all understanding, but you are going to experience, like this scripture says, a great multitude coming against you, and you're going to be overwhelmed by something that is too big for you to deal with and to handle. And this is where Jehoshaphat finds himself. How many of us at this moment, you're sitting with something like that in your life? It can be any area in your life. It can be financial. It can be spiritual. It can be, I don't know what, it can be lots of things. We have different aspects in our lives. In a church, in a small group, you can feel that a great multitude is coming against you. How do we react to it? Let's look. And Jehoshaphat feared. How many of us have fear in our lives? You fear this, you fear that, you fear not having the finances, you fear even not doing God's will. You fear, I don't know, what else? Lots of things. You won't be able to be a good parent to your children or be able to provide for your family. So that is the natural response. We shouldn't, yes, the Bible says we should not fear, but we should not deny that we sometimes do fear. What do we do then is the question. And Jehoshaphat feared, but, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to help, to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I think that is something that God has. And I mean, we couldn't have had, you know, God knows we can't go through another year of drought. And I'm not even speaking that. I'm just saying that we as Namibians were at such a low point is that we had no other choice but to come and see God's face. And so if that's what God did, and if that's why he allowed it, then I'm okay with it. But we don't have to go through life like that where we always have to hit a tragedy before we do what Scripture here says and we seek his face. We go to him with that problem and we ask, we implore, is that the right word, of God, what is your answer to this issue? Because as men, I guess, more than women, we rely on our own strength. We rely on our own abilities to fix things, you know. It's like me at home, there's always some maintenance to do somewhere. You know, a light bulb to fix. A light bulb's the easiest thing, but it's something that you have to. So we rely on, we get in this mode of we can fix stuff. We're going to fix it. You plan it, etc. But God doesn't want us to approach him like that, that we can fix everything. He wants us to say, bring that thing and seek me. Ask of me, what is it? Are you with me? So how many things in your life are you struggling with at this moment in your own flesh and in your own strength? You know, if I can expose all of that this morning, I'll be so happy so that you can just get to a place where you say, God, I'm going to bring it to you. And this is what Jehoshaphat is doing. And I also believe, yeah, it's the same, like I said, with my following the weather channel. We're like, oh God, I hope the weather is changing so that we get some rain. Who changes the weather? Huh? Who changes the weather? God does. Yes, he's probably going to change it. We get used to weather patterns. He'll probably use those patterns. But he changes it. We must get to a place where we rely on God alone, that he changes things, not us. Amen. All right. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord of our fathers. Can I listen to this? What's the next thing he does? O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And you do not And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Now, can I just ask you, I mean, did God know the answers to those questions? I mean, is Jehoshaphat asking God this, or is he actually asking himself this? Because I'm pretty sure that God knows all of the stuff he's saying there. So what he is doing here, he's starting to exalt God. He's starting to praise God. He's starting to say thank you to God for all the good deeds that he has done, what he's done in the past, etc. So in our lives of intercession, we fear, we see God's face. The next thing we should do is we start to exalt him. Whether or not you see the rain or not, you start to exalt him in your life. If you have an issue, a marital issue, a financial issue, you start to exalt his name and you lift his name up. Psalm 150 verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We come into his presence with thanksgiving and saying, God, thank you for what you've done. We thank him even before we see something. And it is a spiritual discipline that we have to get into our lives. Because the world's recipes, man, it frustrates the nonsense out of me. But you only, let me think on how to put it. But it's all about if you're emotionally there, etc., then you should be. No, God says you set aside your flesh. You actually ask it to die. And you say in the spirit, you're going to start blessing God now and exalting him for who he is. Yes, in the flesh, in the natural, we might not see the things happening. But we are starting to spiritually take ownership and walk in authority. And we start thanking God. Are you with me? So in your own life, please cultivate this as a discipline. I'm just asking you. And I'm using intercession again as an example. You come here 5:30 in the morning. I'm actually quite a morning person. I can really, when I wake up, I'm actually awake. I know other people in my life, I won't mention any names. They don't easily wake up. And even if they are awake, I'm not sure if they're awake. But I'm quite awake. But man, my spirit is sometimes asleep when I sit there at interception. And then you just start doing what Scripture says. You start exalting God. You start adoring God. You start worshiping him. And as you go through that, it's like your flesh has now died and the spirit is starting to come alive. And you start to get energy and you're starting to get into line with God's words. Amen? So do that in your own life. Be disciplined about it. Don't walk into God's presence complaining and moaning. I remember my father long ago, and I'm starting to be the same. I realized that. Is that if I come from work, or, okay, let's use my father as an example, not me. It's too close to home. But if I come home, if he came home, sorry that I did it again. If he came home, you know, after a hard day's work, then he would just say, not now. Just don't complain now. I've had a long day. Just be thankful or whatever he said. But then, when I opened the door, the list of complaints, I'm talking about the children, not the wife, okay? See what I'm saying? But this is wrong and that is wrong and we need to fix this. And I believe it's kind of the same. We get into God's presence and we just thank him. We can't start complaining immediately. And we must actually get our spirit in line with what he's saying. Are you with me? Enter his courts with thanksgiving, please. It works. And as you start cultivating this habit of the spiritual discipline, then God starts to lift your spirit in any case. Verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abram, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying. So some of us, just thinking about it now, you actually need to write down some of the things that God has already done in your life. And yes, it can be 20 years ago, but we forget about that. You know, I'm married now, I think 12 years. I remember the long complaining hours. Oh, Lord, send me my wife. Now I've forgotten about it, that I went through that. I need to thank God every now and I do. God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for these children. Thank you that I'm not a bachelor anymore. We forget. I'm joking about it. But write down some of the things that God has already done for you in your life And just start by those things. If you have nothing else to thank, Lord, thank you. You came through for me there. Amen. Verse 8. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Isn't that exactly what we as a country is going through? If disaster comes upon us, what disasters? The sword, war, in other words, judgment, pestilence, or famine. What do we do then? We will stand before this temple and in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. In your own life, if you have something that you go through, and it will come for you, those things will come, stand and cry out to God, and he will hear you. That's what that scripture says. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will hear. Verse 10, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Let's just read that one again. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. You know what? I think we've all gone through that. I'm not going to say that just some of us. But God has promised you something in your life. And the enemy has come, like in the scripture, to dispossess them from their inheritance. And some of us, I guess all of us, has slipped up somewhere already in our lives where God has promised that for us and we've let it go without fighting for it. And this scripture, yeah, they are saying, God, but you promised us this. And they were awake and aware at least. And they could say, no, but we're not going to give this up. You know, there's a difference between being arrogant and being confident. Being confident is to find out what God wants for you in your life, what He's promised for you, and then when you see the enemy coming, because we must not be naive and think that the devil will never come for us. He's going to come for us all the time. But if we are secure in God and confident in God, then we will stand on it and we will see the enemy coming, but we know this is ours and we fight for it and we say, God, we want to inherit this. The same for this nation, Namibia. So I just want to add something else here. You know, in scripture it says that in the last days there will be signs of war and rumors of wars and famine, etc. So my question is, if the end times are approaching us and the Bible says it's going to look like that, should we accept that? Should we accept that is just also going to happen to Namibia, to our nation, to your family? I don't think so. I'm starting to realize it. And I think I'm getting it. But as this scripture says, if we realize and we say, no, but this country, Namibia, is going to be blessed because we want to worship God, we want to glorify His name, then I believe, as this scripture says, we can say, but this is our inheritance, and that enemy must stop right there outside Namibia. I believe that. I believe, and I don't know how it's going to look right there at the end. It's probably going to be tough and difficult, etc. But sometimes we can just give up so easily. And God is telling us, figure out what it is I'm promising you and fight for it and inherit it. Amen. I'm not a prosperity gospel type of person. But when it comes to, and I really think that Namibia, and we hear these prophecies all the time, that Namibia can and should be a nation where we glorify Jesus Christ, where we lift up His name, and it is a symbol to other nations in Africa and everywhere. Why not? Why not? Why do we have to go through nonsense if we follow God? But it should be also, and I think that's what God is working with us and doing with us. It's a genuine love for Jesus Christ and exalting His name. Where we don't, because it's easy for us. I remember, I know this. When it rains, we're like, oh, we always add, praise the Here and the Ende. But it must be a genuine, and I think it's happening, people. If you look at Facebook, there's not a person that doesn't say, thank God for this rain. And let it be sincere, man, that this nation will send out evangelists and prophets and just missionaries all over the nation will be blessed. You know, let God root out corruption everywhere and will let us be a righteous nation before Him. It can happen. Can happen. Amen. Where am I now? All right. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. A state of desperation and total dependence on God. And we are there as a nation. We are there. We always rely to, yeah, the rain will come, the rain will come. And God has showed us, I guess, I think, is that, you know, when I say it's not going to rain, it won't rain and you're dependent completely on me. And I've realized with this intercession, it's like, yes, I know it's weather patterns, etc., but we are completely dependent on God to send us rain for His goodness. There's nothing and nobody that sends us rain and that blesses this nation but God. We're desperate, actually, but we're desperate for God. Our eyes are upon you, like the scripture says. Now all of Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benai, the son of Jeuel, in the midst of the Salem. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of His great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. How many battles in your own life are you fighting? And God is trying to He's asking you, and He's going to get you a place, maybe through desperation, where He says, let go. Because I want to fight for you, God. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse 17 is up there. Look at this verse. Three things. Things very important. You will not need to fight in this battle. We are fighting too many things that we shouldn't be fighting. And what I mean with fighting is not meaning when we have to stand up for God and profess and proclaim what God is, but it's stuff takes our energy that it shouldn't do. God says here, you don't need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. What does that positioning mean? I think it means hear from God on this specific situation. What is it that we're supposed to do? What is His plan for the situation? And then just follow that situation, that plan. You stand in that position that God has given you. So many times we struggle, we battle with things, but we haven't heard from God, we haven't sought His face, and He hasn't told us what we how we should deal with it. And you know what? Many times, like at the intercession, all we do is we pray for 1 hour a day, and we let the rest into His hands, and we can relax. Then we position ourselves, and if we hear from Him, He's going to send rain, we relax, and we stand on that position. You know, and you see, this is when it comes in. I'll explain a little bit later. When we start seeking God's face, the confidence comes because we are starting to become channels from what God is really telling us. And when you have that, you start getting confidence and you just stand in it like that. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm not trying to be arrogant here at all this morning. I also don't think we're perfect in how we're doing it. But at least I'm seeing a recipe on how God works with us, and I'm seeing it tangibly in my own life and in this church's life. Many of you sit here this morning, I felt it, I'll say it again. Maybe you've got loved ones that don't serve God, and it's such a burden to you. And I understand it's a burden. I think it's time that you seek God's face. How must you approach it? You know, I've heard of examples. No, I haven't heard of examples, but I think sometimes we can just approach things in such a fleshly way that we do more harm than we do any good. Sometimes we just keep quiet and just hear from God what we should do. And then if you hear from Him, you stand in that position and you just see Him do the work. But it will require seeking His face. God, how am I going to reach? How are you going to reach this family member, that family member, etc.? Get to that place where you wrestle with God and He gives you the strategy and you can let go. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and against them, for the Lord is with you. Do you have a sense in your own life that God is with you? We're going to pray after this sermon, but if you feel that there's an area in your life where you don't know if God is there with you, I want to pray for you, because God is in every area of your life. He wants to speak to you and give you that peace and assurance in every area of your life. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites of the children of Korah stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Their answer to fighting was not to fight, it was to worship God, and with their voices. One thing that I've realized with this intercession is, okay, we're a bit more lenient on you than Michael Howard was, that first intercession. Like I said, luckily they started here and I was there, so I could figure out the vibe before beforehand. But he said, no, you don't come here and you don't pray. And because we had a lot of intercessions when a lot of people would come. I even came to some and I didn't pray. I mean, anyway, so he started off by saying, let me just get the point that I want to bring across. Just everybody start by saying, Lord, I adore you. That's all. So we go through and then some people say something else. Lord, I adore you. You're amazing. No, Lord, I adore you. That's it. But everybody, and you know what happens? It happens every time. And I think we must just stick to that recipe because I like it. But it is that it's just you use your mouth to glorify God. And yes, in the beginning, because it's early in the morning, or maybe for all kinds of other reasons, it feels mechanical in the beginning. Yes, it does feel mechanical. But somewhere, it starts to become a very deep spiritual thing, and we're starting to glorify God through our spirits, and you start getting the vibe, and you start catching what's happening here, and before you know it, you're out of the flesh, in the spirit, and worshiping God. So for me, intercession and worship, that's the topic of my sermon. Intercession and worship is this intertwined thing. You know what? It is amazing and it's very biblical, and God is also talking to us about that. Worship through instruments. But worship just needs your voice. Nothing more. And God wants you to worship Him. You to adore Him. You to exalt Him. You don't need music. Yes, that brings us into a corporate thing, etc. Oh, there's lots of other reasons for that. But I want to tell you that, and I've learned this lately, is that, you know, I can worship God in at home by opening my mouth. And I have to say, we have to open your mouth. We have to do that. We can't think it. We have to speak it. I'm trusting God that this corporate anointing that is on us will just overflow into every family of life, because the things that I'm seeing is that you're going to start praying at home where you're so overwhelmed that the Holy Spirit takes charge of your voice and you start glorifying Jesus in your house, and the demons are going to flee. They're going to start taking their hands off your family and over your, off your children and off your businesses and everything, because you open your mouth and you glorify Jesus. Because He wants to work through you and through everybody, and not just a few chosen ones. Nobody is exempt from operating in the Spirit. There's some burdens that Jesus is just going to lay on some of your hearts, not on my heart, because it's too much for all of us to bear. He wants to lay it on our hearts, and we start interceding with, because we identify with some other issue. And Jesus is going to set this nation, families, things free through you. Are you with me? I believe that. God is not of men. What is that scripture? Respecter of persons. He just needs some desperate mama crying out in any home, anywhere. And He listens. He does. I see that. We've got the people that lead intercession here. Different people. My goodness. What amazing warriors. It's just unbelievable. And it's just normal people that God is using. What did I now mean with normal people? Whatever. You get my point, huh? So, you're all going on holiday, I guess. Let your prayer life not die with your waistline. What do we... Over December, the waistline grows, the spirit must also grow. Maybe that's what I should have said. Okay. Was it now? Oh, yes. Verse 19. Then the Levites of the children of... Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness and stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." The scripture I spoke about it already. But here you can see the confidence is starting to build in them. And then he says, Jehoshaphat is saying, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever." Psalm 9 verse 11, it's up there. "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people." Psalm 22:22. "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." Amen. "For his mercy endures forever." We'll recap just now, but there's so many things that in this intercession that I'm learning. And one thing is, and it normally it's more towards the end of the intercession, is just an understanding of God's mercy. Because first he takes you through a process where you repent of your own sins and then the sins of this nation. And then God starts to reveal to you, like you're starting to see the bigger picture of how he feels about injustice. And it's almost this dread that comes over you. Oh, God, we need you. We need your forgiveness. But then you continue, and then somewhere along the line, this is how God's manifold grace and wisdom. Then you also realize, but wow, he's so merciful. He's so gracious. But it doesn't come until you realize first how miserable as human beings we actually are, how far we fall short of the glory of God. But he always comes. He always comes with his mercy. And where he says, "If we ask, I'll forgive." It's overwhelming. And that's how I really feel that God feels about our nation. Not only our nation, but everybody. Is that the sin is the problem. Repent of the sin and my mercy is there. My hand is there every time to reach out and to touch you and to restore you. Every time. Every time. Now, verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. They're starting infighting. God ambushed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Psalm 22:3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Another translation says, God inhabits the praises of his people. And this is an example in 2 Chronicles 20 of how it's an overwhelming situation. Luckily, Jehoshaphat follows the correct godly procedure and God delivers them. And I believe as a church and as individually, God wants us to grow in this intercession, to continue intercession and worship, this intertwined thing. And then that God inhabits the praises of his people. God, when we start doing that, when we just, that's what I guess that scripture means, when my people humble themselves, it's almost a process of humbling ourselves, just doing it in a godly manner. When we humble ourselves, then we start seeing God operating and manifesting in our midst. And I'm excited about it. I mean, what a year we've had as a church. We've got a building that's almost finished. We've got a nation that's starting to receive rain. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We're blessed. I'll close off. You know that what the word Judah means? Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Judah, what does Judah mean? Judah, as far as they know, means praise. So Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The Lion speaking of that boldness. Boldness in praise. Boldness in praising God's name and standing on Him, seeking His face and just adoring Him, worshiping Him. And God will come through for us every time. Now we can go to the first slide and we can close off with this. Just, can you go? That's what I wanted to show you. At intercession, the typical process we go through. And I'm okay with following a process, people. I don't have to be, my own opinion doesn't have to be heard. I've also realized that. We start with thanksgiving. I am challenging you. Pray like this. That's what I'm saying. Start with thanksgiving. Thanking God. Adore Him. Worship Him. Declare His goodness. As you're starting to declare God's goodness, even if it's mechanical in the beginning, you're going to start seeing God's character in your spirit. It's like a deposit. Then go over to repentance. Yes, it will also be mechanical, but as you do it, repent for yourself, your own stuff, then repent for other, the nation, people around us. Swakopmund. God is going to start downloading into your spirit the burdens that He actually has for a nation. You're going to start identifying with the things that He goes through, on how He sees this nation. Then you ask for forgiveness, ask for cleansing, washing by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're going to start moving over into receiving authority from God to then speak into certain directions. And then you declare. And then you end off again with thanksgiving. And you're going to start seeing a clearer picture of God's power and how He wants to deal with things. Amen. So that's my recipe. It's what God is showing me. We're going through a process, but I'm blessed. Let's stand. This whole chapter, Jehoshaphat, starts with the whole of nation being overwhelmed. And I want to give the opportunity here this morning, if you personally feel overwhelmed by some or other aspect in your life. And we will pray that God will deliver you. But I actually, what I would be blessed with, maybe that's from God, maybe it's not. But it is just that God will deposit that boldness in your heart, where you can start addressing these things by yourself in prayer, or maybe at a intercession session or whatever it is. That's my heart, is that we as Christians would start walking in that place where we do get the overwhelmment, but how we address it, we just become more effective in addressing it and still standing and walking with Christ. So as we bow our heads and just close our eyes, I want to ask if there's anybody here this morning and you are at the moment overwhelmed by some other aspect in your life, some situation, then I just want you to raise your hand if you want prayer. Is there anybody like that? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Be bold. Okay. I see 1, 2 hands. Okay, I'm going to close off in prayer. Then I'm going to ask for you to come forward and we'll pray for you. And if there's anybody else that wants to come afterwards, feel free. Father, we thank You for our church. We thank You for our leaders. We thank You for this year. We are truly, truly blessed. Father, we bless You. Thank You for the rain that has fallen over this nation. Father, we know we need more, but at the moment, we're just so thankful and we pray that You will continue to bless us. Lord, but let us as a nation turn to You and worship You, glorify You, and magnify You, Lord God. Fight on our behalf, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, fight on our behalf. Show us strategies or just the plan You have, Lord God, so that we can enter into the rest that Your Scripture speaks about. I pray for that for each and every individual here, Lord God, to be truly blessed, but to have a powerful prayer and worship life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everyone. If you want prayer, just come forward, but enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.